You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome, welcome to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Yes, yes, round of applause for the Eagle Sports Zone brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia. Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Log on to premierbet.com right now and use Namibia and use promo code Namibia264 to create your account and start winning big now. As usual, I'm your host, Hende. I will be with you until 8 p.m. this evening, this warm evening in the capital city of Windhoek. In the capital city of Namibia, I mean. That is Windhoek. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, we will be talking about referee drama in the beautiful game that is football. Why are we talking about referee drama? Today's topic was mainly motivated by the incidents that we've been seeing in the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations over in Morocco, where things came to a boiling point last night in the Algeria against Nigeria. In the Algeria against Nigeria quarterfinal, which the Super Eagles won at 2-0. But the contingent from North Africa was not happy with the refereeing performance. If you log into our social media pages, any of our pages, that's Facebook, X, Instagram, you'll find a video of what happened. The Algerians essentially attacked the referee from the pitch. The referee had to be, you know, escorted, had to be surrounded by, even the Nigerians were actually protecting him at one point, but all the way into the tunnel. And it's not an isolated incident. Well, for it to get to this point is an isolated incident. But in general, at this Africa Cup of Nations, there's been a lot of talk about refereeing decisions. But we'll get into that in a few minutes after we run through our news, as we usually do. Our premier bet score segment. So yeah, let's get right into the segment.
Who won? Who scored? What was the final score? The Eagle Sports Zone Score Roundup is brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Visit premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264 to sign up and win big now.
Yes, yes, this is now the Premier Bet segment. Before I get into the Premier Bet segment, I almost forgot the trivia question of the day, which is, can you call in and tell me? Call in at 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. Call in and tell me, or guess, how many kilometers does a referee average in a 90-minute football match? How many kilometers do they run on average? You can give me a range. You know, there's obviously no precise answer, so give me a range. You think it's 3? Do you think it's 50? How many kilometers do they run? Call in, 083-288-401. And as usual, follow us on all of our social media pages. That's 08. On all of our social media pages. That's on Facebook. That's on Instagram. That's on X. That's on LinkedIn. That's on WhatsApp. Type in Eagle FM Namibia. And you'll be able to engage with all our lovely content. And alternatively, if you'd like to engage with us through WhatsApp, save this following number. That's 081-241-44. 0812004144. Make sure to save the number as a contact, and you'll be able you'll be able to get in touch with Eagle FM whenever you want. And two, you'll have access to our WhatsApp channel. And three, you will be able to receive the villager directly to your WhatsApp phone number if you tell us that you want to become a subscriber. And speaking of the villager, it is being published tomorrow morning. So make sure you subscribe and you stay up to date with the latest and greatest in business, economics, all kinds of bread and butter issues, sometimes sports articles, information that will make you a smarter citizen of the world. And speaking of information that will make you a smarter citizen of the world, make sure to download the Eagle FM mobile application, free to download right now on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. And the reason I said, speaking of becoming a smarter citizen, is because on this wonderful, wonderful free-to-download application, free-to-download-and-use application, you can tune into, one, you can tune into Eagle FM wherever you are in the world. So if you're in Germany, if you're in Kazakhstan, you know, if you're in Seychelles, maybe you went to Mauritius for the holidays, no problem. Eagle FM can be right by your side simply by downloading the Eagle FM mobile application. But now moving on to becoming a smarter citizen, on the mobile application, you will see a nice, beautiful, clean, rotating digital display for you to interact with. You know, there's all kinds of documents on this display. It will tell you what to do. It will tell you click here, things like that, and you'll be able to access the full documents. Things like the tourist statistical report of 2024, 2025. Is it 24 or 25? The latest, yes, 2024. The latest tourist statistical report of 2024, released by the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism. Things like that you'll be able to access on the Eagle FM mobile application. If you're looking for a job, there's even vacancies there. And like I said, make sure to click on that display whenever it tells you to click so that you will be able to access the document that is being shown to you, and you can become a smarter person. You know, when you're arguing with your cousins, when you're arguing with your coworkers, you will be able to back up your arguments with concrete, cold, hard facts that nobody can argue against. Now, took a slight detour, but let's head to the Premier Bet Score segment. We will start, as we always do, with local sports. And the local sports season is slowly, slowly getting started. People are coming back to their respective towns, I guess, where they're from, and their various holiday destinations. And the first, let's call it, major sporting event to take place in the year of 2026 was the Nedbank Windhoek Pedal Power Series. For those that don't know, this is a cycling series sponsored by Nedbank, road cycling series, where throughout the year there are six series in total, and the first one took place this morning over on the new highway towards the Jose Agutaco International Airport, starting at the Finkenstein Bridge. And so the first edition of the series had over 150 riders of all ages registered. And when I say of all ages, I really mean of all ages, from as young as 11 years old to as old as, I don't even know. Probably looked like there were some 60, 70 year olds out there. But people of all ages, all shapes and sizes, all skin shades and tones of the cycling community were there this morning. And in that contingent includes, you know, the likes of the young phenom, Mr. Roger Searin. It includes another young phenom, that's Delcia Jansa van Vuren. It includes your living legends like Dirkus Kutsia. It included Olympians like Vera Lusa. So all the big cycling names that you can think of, and everyone that cycles leisurely. You know, people like myself. Obviously, I couldn't cycle because I was there busy covering it. But some of the results that I can give you are in the men's teams category. Daniel Abrahams, riding for Manny's Bike Mecca Invitational, came in first, with Tiens van der Vesthazen riding for Hollard Life coming in second. And like I said, the young phenom, Mr. Roger Searin, coming in third. Surprisingly, Dirkus Kutsia came in seventh place, behind Dirkus Rice for Holland Insurance, behind Tristan De Lange, who also is an Olympian. Tristan was in the London Olympics. Yes, he cycled for Namibia at the London Olympics. In the elite women's category, to no surprise really, Anri Khriev coming in first, Olympian Vera Lusa coming in second. And the list goes on and on across the various categories. Like I said, there's open categories, elite categories, junior categories. Riders as young as under 12 were in there. In terms of any other local news, we have, of course, well, not of course, but we have the Under-19 Cricket World Cup is happening right here in the land of the brave, with the first fixture scheduled for 15 January, and that is between the USA and India. And interesting thing about this Under-19 World Cup, I mean, of course, we're super as a nation, or we should be, rather, let me say, we should be very proud to be hosting an international tournament of this stature. I mean, cricket, as you know, is the second biggest sport in the world behind, obviously, football. But cricket lovers from all over the world will be tuned in, will have their eyes glued on to the F&B Namibia Cricket Ground. And if you live in Windhoek, you might have seen the ICC buses roaming around, the beautifully branded, I must say, ICC buses roaming around the streets of Windhoek. And interestingly enough, though, or rather unfortunately enough, Namibia didn't qualify for this Under-19 World Cup. It's not like in football where if you're the host, you automatically get to participate in the tournament. There's some different rules in cricket, especially because we're not a tier one nation, essentially, in the cricket world. So our boys didn't manage to qualify. But this is also something that, at least as we sit here today, is something that could happen with the 2027 Men's World Cup as well, that we're co-hosting with South Africa and Zimbabwe. Yes, Zimbabwe. There's a high possibility, you know, unless our boys start pulling out some great, great, great performances, there's a high possibility that we don't qualify for this monumental World Cup that we're going to be co-hosting. So best of luck to our cricket boys and girls of all levels, junior and senior levels, representing the nation well as per usual. On the women's side of things, still staying on cricket, the Capricorn Eagles, that's the women's national team, is on their way to, well, they left already, but on their way to Nepal.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Eagle
staff.
My friend,
why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Win big, win now. Apologies for that. We are back. We had a slight technical glitch, but we are back live on the Eagle Sports Zone. If you're just tuning in, we are running through some local sports news, and I was on the Capricorn Eagles. That's the women's national team. They have departed for Nepal for a T20 World Cup qualification tournament. And at their departure, the CEO of Cricket Namibia, Mr. Johan Miller, emphasized to the girls that, you know, this tournament that is a qualification tournament for the T20 World Cup in England in June, our ladies have a very strong chance of qualifying. All they need to do is muster up two wins and a narrow defeat, and they will seal their ticket to England. So, best of luck to our Capricorn Eagles, representing the nation excellently, as they always do. So, moving on to international sporting news, we have the FA Cup third round is taking place this weekend. That is why there was no English Premier League football. Oh, and actually, before I move to the FA Cup, just reminded me now, I was, the second leg of the Namibian Premier League is meant to take place, or meant to resume. The Namibian Premier League season is meant to resume in January. As of now, there's no official word on if this will actually happen, because if you recall, the NFA said that the money that they got was only enough for the first half of the season, which obviously has concluded. So as I sit here today, I can't tell you 100% or not if there will be Premier League football this season. I know it's unfortunate, but you know that's the situation we're in. Becoming increasingly jaded when it comes to covering our lovely Namibian football, but let's hope for the best and that there will be a local football back on pitches all over the country. And it's actually been an interesting local football season. You know, the top of the table has been up and down. There's been changes every weekend. So hopefully an exciting second half of the season will continue. Now, back to the FA Cup. Yes, the third round of the FA Cup will start with the Citizens, the blue team. Manchester City played against a fourth division side, Exeter, beating them by a ridiculous scoreline of 10-1. Their new signing, Antoine Semenyo, Ghanaian, scored on his debut for Manchester City after he signed from Bournemouth for, I believe it was £65 million. Somewhere around in that ballpark, but he won the man of the match after scoring a goal. City youngsters Rico Lewis, Nico O'Reilly, Max Alien, however his last name is pronounced, were all on the score sheet for the Citizens. Also, youngster Ryan Makaidu. Other teams that played in the FA Cup were Tottenham got knocked out by Aston Villa, losing it 2-1. Chelsea beat Charlton 5-1. The Gunners beat Portsmouth 4-1. With Man United is playing against Brighton, starting at 6:30 tonight. Of course, I will keep you up to date on the happenings of that fixture. Let's see if interim coach and former player Mr. Darren Fletcher can bring some good vibes to the red side of Manchester, as the vibes haven't been good for quite some time now, to the point where they had to fire their head coach, Mr. Ruben Amorim. Now we move on to Spain, where the League Cup version of the Spanish football system, the Supercopa de España, where you will have Real Madrid playing against Barcelona in a El Clásico final. Honestly, it seems like the Spanish Cups, the final is always Real Madrid and Barcelona, which is great for us neutrals, but the other teams, come on. And this tournament only, it basically starts in the semifinals. And so Barcelona played against Bilbao. They beat them 5-0. And then Madrid played against arch rivals Atletico and beat them 2-1 to set up a showdown tonight. Of the two giants, Real Madrid and Barcelona. That will be at 9 p.m. I'll be off by then, so make sure you're watching that game or just stay tuned to our social media pages and we will update you on that final score. Now back to the continent, where the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations, of course, is taking place. The quarterfinals took place over the last few days. I think since the... Let me just confirm. Was I on when... Was I on when the round of 16s took place? Yes, I was. So, the quarterfinals will start with Mali against Senegal. Senegal took that one 1-0. On the score sheet was Everton's Ilman Indai. He scored early in the first half for the Lions. They are through to the semi-final. Cameroon came up against hosts Morocco. Morocco took that one 2-0. Some emotional scenes. Or let me rather say you could live the whole match through Cameroon Football Association's president Samuel Eto'o, who was very very emotional during that fixture, and actually gave the team a team talk when the match ended, just to let them know that he was proud of them and all of that. And in that match, lining up with our topic for today, there was some rather controversial refereeing decisions that the Cameroonians were not happy with. And of course, the Algeria fixture. Algeria played the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Nigeria took that one 2-0. Nigeria has been having a fantastic tournament, I must say, with being led by Victor Osimhen, Alexi Iwobi, Lookman. You know, the Super Eagles are certainly flying, and at the moment doesn't look like anyone can come in their way, truthfully speaking. And Egypt, the Pharaohs of Egypt, knocked out the defending champions. That's Ivory Coast at 3-2. Mohamed Salah getting on the score sheet. Omar Mamouche getting on the score sheet. Rami Rabia getting on the score sheet for the Pharaohs of Egypt. And so that sets up a semi-final round with the hosts of Morocco going up against the Super Eagles, and then Senegal going up against Egypt. Two big semifinals. I mean, there's a possibility that we're going to have a North African AFCON final. I should have looked this up, actually. I'm not too sure how many times that has happened in the history of the African Cup of Nations. Well, I'll look that up for you guys in just a bit. But that would be quite an interesting fixture. And then also there's a potential of a West African final with Senegal going up against, potentially going up against the Super Eagles of Niger. But as we know, West African finals, those usually happen during AFCON. Not a surprise. Actually, at the last AFCON that happened with Nigeria losing to Ivory Coast. Now, that was all we had in terms of the Premier Bet score segment.
Who won? Who scored? What was the final score? The Eagle Sports Zone Score Roundup is brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Visit premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264 to sign up and win big now.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Use promo code Namibia264 now to create your Premier Bet account at premierbet.com and win big. You know, use the AFCON to win big. Anyways, speaking of AFCON, the quarterfinal between Nigeria and Algeria was the motivator for my topic of today, which is about controversial refereeing, whether it's decisions, moments, cases, scenarios, just moments where referees got in the way of fantastic football matches. Those of you that are football fans know how frustrating it can be when a referee gets in the way or makes a wrong decision. And on the other side of this, a brief commercial break, we will get in to the topic. We will be right back.
Has your phone ever taken a nosedive into the kitchen sink? Take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to $32,000 Namibian. Fast, reliable, same-day approval. Apply for a quick cash loan. Call 90,000.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. As I said, we're going to talk about dubious refereeing decisions. You're welcome to call into the studio at any time. That's 0832-888-401 if you'd like to contribute to the topic or if you'd just like to tell me anything about sports. You know, sometimes you guys come in and just say whatever it is you want about sports. You're welcome to do so. Let's chat. Also call in and tell me about or answer the trivia question for me today, which is, how many kilometers do you think a football referee averages in a 90-minute match? How many? Is it 5? Is it 10? Is it 25? Is it 35? Is it 50? Call in. Let me know. Anyways, let's get to... well, let's get deeper into what it is we're talking about today. As I said, the 2025 African Cup of Nations has been characterized, one can say, by indifferent refereeing performances. Let's put it like that. Indifferent refereeing performances. And after the Nigeria-Algeria fixture, the Algerians were very, 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 very upset with the referee. And, you know, they're making it seem like, yes, there were some decisions that should have gone Algeria's way, 100%. But if you look, for those of you that didn't watch the match, if you just look at the match stats, Algeria only had 3 shots in the whole game and none of them were on target. Now, the main thing they're talking about is a penalty decision that didn't go their way. But who's to say they would have, you know, that prevented them from winning. And truthfully, objectively speaking, Algeria was not good in that match at all. So, the whole scapegoating the referee thing, I don't really understand. But we'll still get into it because of exactly what happened. So, before the drama actually started before the match even started. Why do I say that? It's because, initially, there was a Somali referee by the name of Omar Abdul Karim Arian, the brother from Somalia. This brother Omar was selected as CAF's best referee of 2025. CAF nominated this man as the best referee of 2025. And he was originally slated to officiate this fixture between Nigeria and Algeria. But he was removed from a match just a day prior to the fixture, because he wore football boots from a brand that were not approved by CAF during a match that he was refereeing, which is a violation of CAF's sponsorship and commercial guidelines. I've never heard of anything like that happening to a referee ever. And also, I don't understand how, if it was a violation, how did he get onto the pitch in the first place with these? Like, don't they... No, I know CAF provides them with gear, so I'm not sure how that wasn't caught before he got on, but yeah. Mr. Omar was removed from the fixture and then they put a different referee to officiate the fixture. And at the AFCON, you know, fans online. And anyone really that you talk to about this 2025 African Cup of Nations, there's an overwhelming opinion. There's an overwhelming opinion that, you know, the referees are exhibiting a bias towards the North African teams. Basically, every time a North African team would play, people are saying like that the referees are favoring the North African sides. You know, wanting either Morocco, Algeria, Egypt to do well in the tournament. And this chatter became so loud that Morocco's head coach Walid Regragui had to come out and, you know, deny these claims. I mean, what else would he do? He obviously wouldn't agree with the claims, but he came out and he said, "We're the team to beat. As a team to beat, people will try to find all sorts of reasons to say Morocco has an advantage. The only advantage Morocco has at this AFCON is playing in front of 65,000 spectators. The rest is on the field. We speak on the field. Many people want to believe or make others believe that we have advantages from the referees. Personally, I saw penalties that could have been awarded to us, but they were not. And as for the referees, I never talk about the referee. That was Morocco's head coach, Walid Regragui, denying the bias towards the host nation in the tournament, saying that everything just happens on the pitch. Basically saying what happens on the pitch stays on the pitch. And another point on Morocco. Before the Morocco-Cameroon quarterfinal, the Moroccan, and this is something I've never seen or heard of in the sport of football, the Moroccan Federation requested a change of referee for their match against Cameroon, and the Federation granted this. The reason for this, that Morocco submitted this request, reports are saying, is because CAF had initially appointed the fixture to Amin Mohamed Omar, who is from Egypt. But they later changed it to a referee from Mauritania, whose name is Dahane Beida. And basically, if you're reading between the lines, they're saying that an Egyptian man should not be put in charge of a match featuring Morocco, you know, because they're saying there's to prevent now this bias. In this case, it will be national bias, not just regional bias. And even that is something I've never seen in the game, a game of football. I've never heard of an international team or even a club team asking a federation to change an appointed referee simply because of their nationality. I've never, ever, ever, ever in my life heard of that. I mean, I've seen situations in the English Premier League. I can remember times where, you know, let's say it's Manchester United against Liverpool, and then it comes out later that the referee is actually from Manchester, things like that. But, you know, Liverpool doesn't go before the match and says, "Oh, please remove this ref. He's from Manchester. He won't ref well against us." You know, that just doesn't happen. Some of these things that we're going to talk about today, I feel like only happen in African football. Or at least we only hear about them happening in African football. And so in that Morocco and Cameroon fixture, after the match, Cameroon's head coach, David Pago, he had this to say about the whole referee situation. Like I said, Cameroon, in my opinion, definitely were robbed of a penalty in that fixture. Now, whether they would have scored that penalty or not is a different story. But a penalty definitely should have been given that wasn't. And that was among the incidents that caused this talk of North African bias. But Coach David had this to say. He said, "Referees are human beings. They can make mistakes. But in the end, we always come to an understanding, even when emotions run high. I didn't see the footage of the penalty incident, so I can't give an opinion right now. But what I can say is that the match is over. Unfortunately, we're not going back. We're not going to go back over it. It was simply part of the game. The referee made his decision. That concerns only him and his conscience." You know, mature response from Coach David, saying it happens. We're dealing with humans. Humans make mistakes. Sometimes the mistakes favor you. Sometimes the mistakes favor your opponent. Mature response from the coach. And thankfully, their displeasure didn't, you know, result in the chaos that we saw in the Nigeria and Algeria fixture. And with that, before I go to the next one, with that, it just came to mind now about the chaos in the Algeria fixture. You know, there's a I'm looking for a way to delicately phrase this. But you know, there's a social rift, let me say, between North Africans and basically sub-Saharan Africans, right? You know, if you guys remember when I interviewed Sam Shivambu, the man who took that picture about of the, was it a Sundown supporter? When Sundowns played Wydad, who are from Egypt, I believe, in the CAF Champions League. You guys remember when that brawl happened between the fans? That's also when that famous interview of Pizzo Masemane happened, when he was like, "Oh, I've had enough, I've had enough. These guys, they don't like to lose. They don't know how to lose, etc., etc., etc." That was from that. And, you know, and since then, there's been this talk of North Africans simply not, one, not, you know, viewing sub-Saharans the same, and two, when it comes to the football pitch, absolutely not being able to take loss when they lose to these teams. That's the sentiment. That's not my opinion. That's the sentiment that's going around in the football world. And you know, maybe that speaks to bigger social things, but we won't talk about that here on the Eagle Sports Zone. We'll stick to sports. But South Africa's head coach, Mr. Hugo Broos, who's from Belgium, after their round of 16, 1-0 loss to Egypt, where there were several, you know, dubious decisions that didn't go South Africa's way, including a handball involving a handball where a penalty was awarded to Egypt because of this handball. And Hugo had this to say. He said that the arm was extended from the body and the ball hit his arm. But then suddenly, there is now a rule of the supporting arm. What is the supporting arm? There's so many rules now that people don't know what to decide anymore. The game was decided by two decisions that were not right. Even Mo Salah came up to me and said after the game, "I was surprised it was a penalty." What makes it more frustrating is that the player who benefited from it also felt it was soft. That tells you a lot. End of quote. So basically, Bruce is saying it shouldn't have been a penalty. And objectively speaking, I'm also inclined to say it wasn't a penalty. But again, these incidents like this is what's causing this chatter of North African bias. You know, moments like this. And this the story of handball is also something that frustrates football fans a lot. You know, over the years, there's been, so, like Hugo alluded to, there's so many different rules and explanations when it comes to handball. Sometimes they're saying, oh, natural position, part of the natural body silhouette. Now they're saying supporting arm. You honestly don't know when a handball can be given as a penalty these days. And that's part of the reason why VAR was introduced, because incidents like this kept happening over and over again. And it's also another reason why fans and coaches are frustrated with the refereeing performance at the AFCON, is because there's VAR. VAR is supposed to prevent some of these things from happening, but there's situations where they go to VAR and VAR still, in the eyes of many, makes the incorrect decision. So those are some of the incidents that have been happening at the 2025 African Cup of Nations. Hopefully the semifinal and the final will be clean matches, no refereeing incidents. The two sides, or the four sides, can just play their matches. If they win, they advance to the final. If they lose, they go to the third place playoff. And we only speak about the football, not the refereeing decisions. But now, let's take a trip down memory lane and look at some of the more talked about refereeing, not scandals, refereeing controversies in football history. I was going to say modern football history, but there's some here that predate me even. But mostly modern football history. So I'll start with one. This is not really an incident, but just something I remember. Is, you know, as a Manchester United fan myself, I remember a very important man to our success, or so the rival supporters would say. This man's name was Howard Webb. Those of you that have been following football, English Premier League football over the years, you know exactly who Howard Webb was. He was he became a famous referee. He became famous because he was a good referee. Like, he was actually a good referee. He got to ref World Cup finals, I believe Euro finals as well, Champions League finals. You know, he was a big time referee. He's retired now. But in those days, people genuinely believed that he was either a closet Manchester United fan, or that Sir Alex Ferguson used to pay him. Because every time he played, this is what the rival supporters would say. Every time Man United played and he was the referee, then people would say all the decisions are going Man United's favor. And actually, this is something he spoke about how difficult it is for referees, especially now using Manchester United as an example, going to a stadium, you know, as renowned, as feared, as, you know, this mythical stadium almost, called Old Trafford, where back in those days, now Man United basically never lost. Like, it was a thing. This is something you can look up. I'm not speaking as a fan now. I'm speaking as an objective reporter. You know, people used to be scared to play in Manchester United. There's ex-players that say, you know, the match was lost in the tunnel already before we even got onto the field. And how do I explain that? You know, some of this, it transmits onto referees. You have to be a strong individual when you go into places like Old Trafford and you have Sir Alex Ferguson there on the sideline looking at you and things like that. You're going to the Bernabeu, you're going to Camp Nou, you're going to San Siro, you're going to Allianz, you know, these massive, massive, historic stadiums where you have to be at your best. You cannot afford to make mistakes, basically, is what Howard Webb explained. Gave people a bit of insight into the psyche of a referee of big-time football matches. But now let's start with the African Cup of Nations. One of the controversies happened in the African Cup of Nations, the one in 2021. This one was actually... This was a funny one. Something that, you know when things happen in the international landscape of things, like the landscape of life, whether it's football, economics, politics, whatever, when things happen, there's things that happen on the continent where it's like you know that this is something that can only happen in Africa. And one of those things was in the 2021 African Cup of Nations, when Mali played against Tunisia. Mali beat Tunisia 1-0 in that fixture. Zambian referee Jenny Sikazwe. Two times he did this in this match. He blew the whistle, like the final time whistle. He blew it twice before the 90 minutes were over. Like, I think the first one he did was like the 77th minute, and then he did it again in the 83rd minute. No, sorry, excuse me. It was the 85th and the 89th minute is when he blew the final whistle. And the players returned to the dressing room on the second occasion, despite there still being stoppage time left to play. So basically, the ref said, the match is over, like, go home, when there was still time left to play. Then, when the players, you know, returned to the dressing room, they were ordered to return to complete the game. And Tunisia refused to leave the dressing room. Then, it later came out where CAF's refereeing chief, Essam Falta, CAF's refereeing chief, defended the Zambian referee. Basically, and what he said was, the truth is that Johnny had heat stroke and was suffering from dehydration. He completely lost concentration. Again, where have you ever heard of something like this happening on a football pitch? But that incident, you know, that was a very funny incident, truthfully speaking. And it's actually part of the incidents that have led to the memification, if that's a word, of the African Cup of Nations. What I mean by that is that, you know, the international Well, let me say there's sections of the international footballing world, even Africans themselves, where they view the AFCON as this like a joke of a tournament almost, where you will just see funny things happening. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, really. But where it becomes a problem is where this desire to just seek to find humor in everything that's happening throughout the tournament distracts from the football. Like, the conversation is not about the football anymore. It's about the funny things happening in Africa. You know, this doesn't happen with the Euros. It doesn't happen with Copa America. It doesn't happen with the Gold Cup, any other continental tournament. You know, it's a serious thing. There's no seeking humor in things unless something, you know, super funny happens. But with AFCON, it's all just like a big joke, is how some people view it. And it's incidents like this that contribute to it. And, you know, Johnny might have genuinely been experiencing a heat stroke, but it resulted in him blowing the final whistle two times before he was supposed to. Now, the next one I have for you is a controversial refereeing decision that, if you're a football fan, I think is ingrained in the minds of every football fan. This was during the 2009 Champions League semi-final between Barcelona and Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, second leg. This is a match where, you know, if you've seen that famous video of Iniesta celebrating with his shirt off, the match where Drogba at the end is saying, "This is a disgrace, this is a disgrace." He was even swearing at the camera. "This is a disgrace." It was in this fixture. The reason he was saying that is because, okay, firstly, this match ended 1-1, and Barcelona advanced to the final on away goal rule. That time when they had away goals. They took it away now. But, yeah. The referee was a Norwegian by the name of Tom of Rabo. And that Iniesta goal I'm referencing is, he scored it in like the 89th minute or so. Yeah. It was a last-ditch goal. It's why he was celebrating like that. But in that match, Chelsea were denied around 3 or 4 clear penalties in this match. It's why Drogba was so irate. And as a non-Chelsea fan, it was actually quite funny to watch. Like, the incidents were so egregious, where it became funny. It was like, why is he not giving a penalty to Chelsea? And when things like that happen is when our fans start to say that there's corruption, this referee favors this team, he was paid off, etc., etc. It's because when things like that happen over and over again. But that's a football memory that's forever ingrained in my mind. And I also remember going to school the next day and just laughing at all the Chelsea supporters because I knew how much pain they were going through. And now, Mr. Tom, the referee, the Norwegian referee, at the end of the game, he was verbally abused by several Chelsea players, including Drogba, Bosingwa, Balak. After turning down several penalty appeals by the home team during the fixture, Drogba, like I said, that famous video of him saying, "It's a disgrace, it's a disgrace," he had to be physically restrained at the end of the match. And the referee had to be escorted out of England, not escorted out of the stadium. He had to be escorted out of England by police on account of fears for his safety. Now, I'm not condoning the reaction of the Algerians, but had the Chelsea delegation behaved that way, which they kind of did, I would kind of understand it, because they were essentially one goal away, either scoring one goal or not conceding a goal from making it to the Champions League final. And then, of course, Iniesta's goal at the end just adds salt on top of the wound. But yeah, he had to be physically escorted out of England. Apparently he received a number of death threats, which Chelsea denied. And the result of that, Drogba was actually banned for 3 matches. Bosingo was banned for 2. And Chelsea were fined £85,000 for improper conduct. If you haven't seen this match, just Google, or YouTube rather, Chelsea versus Barcelona 2009 semi-final. Actually, just Google Drogba, it's a disgrace, and you will see it. It was quite funny, actually. Now, a year later, 2010, FIFA World Cup, round of 16, we had England up against Germany. It was late in the first half. Germany is leading 2-1. And Mr. Frank Lampard stepped up with a, I also remember this very vividly, stepped up with an insane shot from outside the box. And it hit, you know, they call it a bar down. It hit the ball, he hit from outside the box, he hit the bar. It crossed the line. You could, the very first time you see it, you can see it cross the line. It was like, it crossed the line by like a whole meter. But he hit the bar, the ball bounced behind the line. It bounced up, hit the bar again. Then Manuel Neuer caught the ball and played on. You know, Lampard was obviously celebrating. All the England fans are celebrating. But the ref said, play on. He said, no goal. And then goal. Like I said, it was two. This, the shot from Lampard happened around 5 minutes before halftime. At the time, it was 2-1 for Germany. So this goal would have made it 2-2. And obviously changed the game. Completely. Turned it on his head. But it wasn't awarded, and Germany ended up winning 4-1 in that fixture. And it was, I also remember this moment was when the talk of VAR really, it was already, you know, bubbling up. But when this happened, especially the English, they were inconsolable because of this. And this is when the talk of VAR really started ramping up, and then years later, obviously, it became a thing in the Premier League, and is now a thing in all over the world. VAR was introduced into the Premier League during the 2019-20 season. So not that long ago, actually. Then, and like I said earlier, this is obviously an example of a human error. You know, the ref wouldn't have an incentive to just randomly rule out a goal like that. It would have been a great goal as well, you know. There's no incentive for a referee to do that. And with the more examples I give on this stuff, you will see that most of them, like 70% of them, are just genuine human mistakes. But the thing is, when the mistake is so egregious and like unbelievable, that's when people now start talking about, is there corruption? Is the referee favoring one side or another? You know? Just like the famous hand of God from Diego Maradona in the 1986 World Cup quarterfinal against, ironically enough, against England, when he scored that hand of God goal. It was a mistake by the referee. He somehow didn't see it, but the rest of the world could. And on the other side of this, we'll continue our topic.
Win big, win now with Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Get a 200% sports bonus of up to 2,000 Namibian dollars. Sign up now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. I am your host, Hendy. I will be with you until 8 p.m. We have around an hour left on the show. And before the commercial break, I was talking about the hand of God from Diego Maradona in the 1986 World Cup. That Argentina went on to win, by the way. And that's also the same match where he scored a goal that people called the goal of the century, where he ran like more than half the length of the pitch, took out like 6-7 England players. You know, Messi before Messi, basically. And called it the goal of the century. But I bring that up just to say that, you know, sometimes even when things seem so obvious to us watching at home or in the stands, the referees still might not make the correct decision. And I think, honestly, that's probably the... Surely that has to be the most controversial one. Because, I mean, for one, Maradona won the World Cup, cemented his legacy as an all-time great. If he doesn't win that World Cup, I don't know if we talk about him the same way we talk about him now, is my point. But moving along, on to 2006 World Cup. The one in Deutschland, in Germany. Where, this one is also quite funny actually. Where English referee Graham Pohl made a spectacular error in the meeting between Croatia and Australia, where he somehow managed to show 3 yellow cards to the same Croatian player. And the result of this, he was actually sent home from the tournament after this match. And understandably so, honestly, that's not human error anymore. That's something is going on there, where you're giving the same player 3 yellow cards. I mean, when we watch football, we literally see the ref write down the name and number of the player that they gave a yellow card to. So even in the event that you forgot that you gave him 2 yellow cards already, or that you gave him a yellow card already, and the second one, you know, you have to give him a red. Somehow he bypassed all of that and managed to give him 3 yellow cards. And you know, maybe it's because it was 2006, and obviously I was much younger at that time to be able to take in what was happening in the media. But if that had happened at the African Cup of Nations, the amount of memes we would have seen from that, I don't think AFCON would have ever recovered. Now we move on to probably the biggest scandal that will be on this list. And I didn't say refereeing scandal because it involved more than just referees, but referees were a prominent component of this scandal that I'm about to talk about, and that is the infamous Calciopoli. For those that don't know what that is, I'll explain in just a moment. But that's Italian for Footballville. And this was without a doubt the biggest scandal in Italian football history. It involved the manipulation of referee appointments to favor certain teams during the 2004-05 and 2005-06 seasons. So, you know, the Italian high up Italian football officials were like selecting, were manipulating which ref is appointed to which fixture. You know, almost sounds like what I was talking about earlier, but obviously Morocco did it legally. But these Italians were doing things behind the scenes. And this was first uncovered in May 2006, when a number of telephone tappings showed relations between club executives and referee organizations being accused of selecting favorable referees. This implicated league champions Juventus and several other Italian clubs, including AC Milan, Lazio, Regina, and Fiorentina. And in 2006, for those of you that are a bit older, this is something I don't remember happening in real time. Something I learned about like retroactively as I was coming up as a football fan. But in July 2006, Juventus was stripped of the 2004 of the Serie A title of the 2004-2005 season, which until today just says vacant. There is no champion for that season because of the drama that was happening, and as a result they were deducted so many points that they were put in last place. And they were relegated to I'm getting it wrong. So let's start again at July 2006. In July 2006, Juventus was stripped of the 2004-2005 title, right? Which, like I said, was left vacant. Today, if you look it up, you will see that there's a different champion. I'll tell you who that champion is in just a moment. But at the time, it was left vacant. And then what the authorities did, basically, they put AC Milan, they put Juventus in last in the following season. So the 2005-06 season, they put them in last, and then the title was awarded to Inter Milan. And then Juventus was relegated to the second division, Serie B. They came back straight away though, because they won the 2006-07 Serie B season. Right? And so, many prison sentences were handed out to sporting directors and referees, but all were acquitted in 2015. After almost a decade of investigations. I mean, how much can you really investigate in 10 years? Like, that's too long. But at the time when it happened, it was about 4 years for the sports trial, and then around 7 to 5 years for the ordinary trial is what happened. And then at that time, referee Massimo De Santis received a 1 year sentence. And then now this is when the investigation known as Calcio Poli took place. And that's when now many other clubs were implicated, including Brescia, including Cagliari, including Chievo Verona, Empoli, even Inter, Palermo, Udinese, a lot of teams. But they were not put on trial due to the statute of limitations. How nice for them, right? But Juventus, of course, was heavily implicated, as I just described. To the point that this scandal, the first time I learned about this scandal, I actually learned about it as I used to think it was the Juventus scandal, because it was mainly Juventus in the headlines, and it was Juventus who got relegated. So for a long time, I believed that it was actually Juventus, like them by themselves, who were doing this dubious behind the scenes moves with referees. And it was deemed as a match-fixing scandal, even though no match-fixing...
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
We're back. As I was saying, this was like dubbed as a match-fixing scandal, even though there were no match-fixing violations were found within the calls that were being intercepted for Juventus. There were no requests for specific referees, no demands for favors, no conversations between Juventus directors and referees were found. And the season was deemed fair and legitimate. However, Juventus' sporting executives, Luciano Moggi and Antonio Giraldo, were found guilty and banned for life. Banned for life. 6 months before their previous 5-year ban had expired. So they almost got away with it. If they were able to, you know, hold on for 6 more months, they would have gotten away with it. But then, when their 5-year ban was almost up, they said, nope, you guys, gone forever. But they were absolved on charges related to sporting fraud and appealed to the European Court of Human Rights once they exhausted their appeals in Italy's courts. And then also another thing that happened is other club executives were found guilty but did not receive lifetime bans and returned to their previous or new positions. Among them was AC Milan's vice president Adriano Galliani, who, if you're a football fan, you will know that name, and Lazio's president Claudio Lotito. And this scandal, as it involved, you know, Italian football, this was a scandal that kind of like the memification I just spoke about. This scandal, and I really don't think Italian football has honestly fully recovered from the scandal, because it played into the whole, you know, Italian mafia stereotypes, the whole mafias run Italy, mafias run football, you know, Italian football is corrupt. No, that stereotype, that Italian stereotype, was heavily, heavily, heavily reinforced with this Calciopoli scandal. And something that's still spoken about to this day. Like I said, I learned about it years after it happened, so it's a dark moment for Italian football. Back in 2009, going on now to the next one, is when this was for the World Cup qualification, for the 2010 World Cup qualification in South Africa. It was a qualification playoff between France and Ireland. This is when Thierry Henry was doing his best hand of God impression. If you guys remember, he used his hand to control the ball and then crossed it to William Gallas, who ended up scoring the match winning goal that took France to the World Cup and ended Ireland's dreams of going to the World Cup. So France qualified for that World Cup through an act of cheating that the ref didn't see, obviously. And they made it to the World Cup. But if you remember, that World Cup, France was basically useless in that tournament. You know, there was all kinds of off-the-pitch drama. If I'm not mistaken, they were actually knocked out of the group stage as well. So, you know, they cheated their way to a tournament and then had a miserable time at the tournament. So maybe that was the football gods at play. But as you can see, in a situation like this, there's also another situation that called for VAR, because that goal would not have stood if VAR was there, because they would be able to see in 4K HD 1080p that he handled the ball. And we're going to take a quick musical break. We'll be back after this short musical break to continue our trip down memory lane of some of football's funniest and most dramatic refereeing debacles. And don't forget, you can join us in the studio at 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Call in and tell me, how many kilometers do you think a referee averages in a 90-minute football match? Do you think they run a marathon? Are they running 42 kilometers? Are they running 800? No, maybe you think they just stand in the middle of the pitch? Call in. Tell me. And at some point this year, we're gonna start handing out prizes for the Eagle Sports Zone Trivia Question of the Day. And so, we've had a few regular callers on the show when it comes to the trivia questions. So, you know, join the list, join the queue. And you might stand a chance to to win yourself a little something for the new year. But we'll be back on the other side. Of this musical break brought to you by the two legends. Two Jamaican legends. Two reggae legends. And that is none other than Mr. Jimmy Cliff and the one and only Mr. Bob Marley.
Yeah, man, reggae night. You live on the love. So turn on the light, make it shine bright. And listen to this.
Take advantage of this festive cheer that we're bringing back.
Sports Zone.
Brought to you by PremierBet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at PremierBet.com and use promo code Namibia264. PremierBet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone after our musical break, brought to you by the legends that are no longer with us, actually. Mr. Jimmy Cliff, as well as the one and only, Bob Marley. Now, we have around 30 minutes left in the program. Do join us at 083-288-401, and that's 083-288-401. Before I move on to my next point, quick update in the Manchester United and Brighton fixture. Brighton leading 1-0 at halftime after a goal from Brahan Gruda in the 12th minute. It is halftime. Manchester United are playing at home. And definitely playing their first team. So let's see what the Red Devils can do in the second half. Would be quite a disaster if they were to be knocked out so early in the FA Cup, like how they were knocked out in the League Cup. But moving on to our next point for today, we did the Thierry Henry one. Now we jump over to more modern history. By modern, I mean like this happened a few months ago. October 2025, to be exact, in the great nation of Turkey, the nation of restoring hairlines, where they said that more than 150 referees were accused of betting on football matches, including officials from the country's top flight Super League. And now this scandal, similar to Calciopoli, it perpetuates, it reinforces stereotypes about Turkey. I mean, Turkey, well, maybe some of you don't know, but Turkey has that same stigma, basically that same stigma about them as a country, but in football in particular, about like you know, the underworld running things in that nation. And if you don't believe me, ask none other than Jose Mourinho. Just look up his interviews when he was at Fenerbahce. But almost every press conference, he was talking about how corrupt Turkish football is at all levels. And you would see him lash out on the sideline at certain refereeing decisions because he believed, or maybe I can even say he knew what was going on. To him, it was obvious to see. He just used to flat out say, this is a corrupt football structure. And the Turkish Football Federation confirmed that 371 of the 571 active referees. Let me quickly work out what that is percentage wise. That is 65% of your referees. So more than 6 out of 10 referees in a footballing pyramid are implicated in match fixing, essentially. The Turkish Football Federation confirmed that 371 of the 571 active referees are suspected of involvement in illegal betting activities. What's particularly alarming about this situation is the fact that 7 referees and 15 assistant referees work in the top flight league. They said that one referee alone placed 18,227 bets. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever placed a bet in your lives ever. If you haven't, head over to Premier Bet Namibia right now. Use promo code Namibia264 to create your account. But if you've never placed a bet, okay, I don't think it's possible for you to visualize how many bets 18,227 bets are. If this happened over the course of a year, that would be 49 bets in a single day. That's 2 bets an hour in a day. Just crazy. But on the other side of this commercial break, I'll give you more details.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Now, diving deeper into this Turkish referee scandal. Like I said, 18,227 bets were placed by one man. That's 49 bets per day. If it all happened in 1 year, that's 49 bets per day. Almost 2 per hour. That's just, you know when you read about certain crimes? It's like comical. That's what this situation is. Comical. Six referees have been placed in pre-trial detention. This was on November 10, 2025. And in October 2025, the Turkish Football Federation suspended nearly 150 referees for betting on matches, all of whom have since been dismissed. Investigations are still ongoing. Now, if Calciopoli, for example, took like 10 years to investigate, or investigations were still happening 10 years later, I'm actually curious how this is going to play out and how long this is going to take. I'd actually also like to know when, how long they've been investigating. Because, I mean, you, to find 371 suspects, I assume, took some time. So we might be looking at another 10-year case here. But, again, it's a dark spot on Turkish football, perpetuating certain stereotypes about the Turkish and their football. Things we don't like to see in sport, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we do see them. The next one is still going to be in Turkey. The next one is still going to be in Turkey, but this, we're doing some time traveling now. We're going back to 1986. I wasn't around for this one. But in September 1986, defending Turkish champions Beşiktaş were being held 0-0 at Ankara Gucu until the referee, who goes by the name of Ahmet Akay, deflected a wayward shot into the net of his own face. So, a player shot, it hit the referee's face and went in goal. But the referee allowed it to stand, giving the host a victory. Right? And this was between, this was in 1986, excuse me. So a player struck a ball, it hit the referee's face, it went into goal, and the referee allowed it to stand. You know, and as a standalone situation, okay, obviously the ref shouldn't have allowed it to stand. But, you know, the ball bounces one way. This day it bounces the other day, like I said at the top of the show. But now where this became significant is that in that season, Beşiktaş finished the season 1 point behind champions Galatasaray. 1 point behind champions Galatasaray. So had the ref not allowed a ball that went off his face to count as a legitimate goal, because that match ended 1-0, had he not allowed that to stand as a goal, Beşiktaş might have won the league title that season. You know? And again, this goes back to my point. This is when the average supporter gets upset at referees, and this is how they come up with conspiracy theories about corruption, about favoritism, things like that. Incidents like this. Still going back in the past, but a little bit more modern, or a few years after that, 1986, we're going to 2000. We're going to the AFCON in 2000. The AFCON final, to be exact. This was between Cameroon and Nigeria. This was the days of Rigobert Song. How many of you know who Rigobert Song is? Anyways, this was the days of the likes of Rigobert Song, and it was a situation similar to the Lampard situation we spoke about earlier, where the match went to penalties, right? Victor Ikpeba shot a penalty that hit the bar and then hit the ground behind the goal line. But the referee at the time, the referee's name was Murad Dami. He disagreed. And it cost Nigeria the AFCON, because Cameroon won the penalty shootout 4-3. And Nigeria was actually hosting that African Cup of Nations. So can you imagine if let's say Morocco reaches the final in this year's AFCON, in the 2025 AFCON. The match goes to penalties. And let's say they face... Let's say it's a North African final. Let's say they face Egypt in... No, let's say they face Senegal in the final. So West against North. And let's say Sadio Mane takes a penalty. It hits the bar, but it crosses... There's no VAR. We're pretending like there's no VAR or goal line technology. The ball crosses the line. From Sadio Mane's penalty. But the ref says no goal. And Morocco win the African Cup of Nations because of that. Could you imagine the... Honestly, I think like mini civil wars would break out if that happened. Because the notion of bias is already there, and if a mistake like that would happen, people would not think it's funny. Don't forget, the line in the studio is 083-288-401, 083-288-401. Call in and tell me what is the answer to the trivia question of the day, which is, how many kilometers do you think a referee averages in a 90-minute football fixture? Call in, let me know. Show me your football knowledge. This is deep football knowledge if you can correctly answer this one without Googling it. While I wait for you to call in, let's do some more time traveling. We're going to the very first World Cup. We're going back to 1930. I wonder if anyone listening was alive in 1930. Do we have some... How old would that make you? That would make you 75 turning... No? Oh, you'd be over 100 years old. Or close to 100 years old. Excuse me. You'd be 94. 95. Turning 96. So do we have any 96-year-olds listening? Maybe you can tell me your memories about the 1930 World Cup. But before we get to that, Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing this evening? And where are you calling us from?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. And I'm calling from Ondangwa.
From the mighty Ondangwa. What would you like to share with us this evening?
I'd like to answer the trivia question.
Okay. You know that you heard the trivia question?
Could you repeat it?
Okay, so can you tell me, you can just give me an estimate, not an exact number. How many kilometers does a referee average in a football match? How many kilometers do they cover?
I would say about 67 kilometers.
How many kilometers?
67.
That is incorrect, my good friend. That is incorrect.
Oh, man.
You're welcome to call in again once you come to your senses. I can tell you now it's lower than 67. So your next guess should be lower than 67. Actually, I'll give you one more now. You don't have to call back. Just guess one more time. How many kilometers do they cover?
Okay, if you're telling me it's less, I would probably go for 43.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect, my friend.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, though, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Enjoy your evening.
You too.
67. I'm not even going to get into it. It's a new year. There's no more 6-7. We're done. That was the last 6-7 of the year. Anyways, moving on. If you'd like to call in an answer. Oh, that made me laugh. If you'd like to call in an answer, how many kilometers does a football referee cover in a match on average? What do you think it is? It's not 67 or 43. Okay, going back to the 1930 World Cup for my 95-year-old listeners. If you were there, if you remember, maybe you read the newspaper. Maybe those days it used to come like a day later or 2 days later, I mean. If you used to read the newspaper, maybe you used to listen to the radio. During the first World Cup, do you remember this? In Uruguay, where the host nation Uruguay were given a helping hand in their semifinal clash against Yugoslavia. Who of you listening were alive when Yugoslavia was a thing? Anyways, with the score level at 1-1, the ball looked to have gone out of play only for a policeman. A policeman. The thing with historical, the things with stories about the past is that they also sometimes just sound comical. But anyways, the ball had gone out of play only for a policeman at the side of the pitch to knock it back onto the field discreetly, allowing Peregrino Anselmo to race forward and put Uruguay back in the lead. Yugoslavia later had an equalizer disallowed for what is reported here as a debatable offside decision. But in the end, this was kind of an inconsequential mistake because Uruguay won that match 6-1. So they probably didn't need the help from the policeman. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing this evening, and where are you calling us from?
I am calling from Tsumeb.
From Tsumeb?
Yeah.
From Oshomea.
Yes, yes, yes.
What would you like to share with us this evening from Oshomea?
I would like to know what is the question of the day today.
Today's trivia question is, can you tell me how many kilometers do you think a referee covers in a football match? On average, just give me an average. You can give me a range if you want to say like 30 to 35, you know, something like that.
I was actually going to go 30 to 35, I'll go with that.
30 to 35?
Yeah, kilometers.
My brother in Christ, that is not correct also.
Oh my goodness, what is the right answer?
I'll reveal the correct answer. If no one gives the right answer in 10 minutes, I'll give the correct answer in 10 minutes.
Was I close to?
No. No.
Is it above or below?
I can't give away any more hints. I can't give away any more hints.
All right.
But it's not 30 to 35.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you for calling. Yes. If you'd like to do better than the last two previous callers, call in and tell me 0832888401. How many kilometers does a football referee cover on average in a football match? I've had some phenomenal guesses so far, and by phenomenal I mean phenomenally incorrect guesses. 35 kilometers. I don't think you guys understand how far 35 kilometers is. For reference, a marathon is 42 kilometers, a full marathon. The Boston Marathon, the London Marathon, the New York Marathon, the Cape Town Marathon is 42 kilometers. Now, for those that are listening, do you really believe that a football referee runs a marathon every time they cover or every time they officiate a football match? The answer is no. So, Colin, tell me, how many kilometers do you think a football referee covers in a football match on average? 0832888401. We have another call on the line. Airtime must have ran out. Call back 0832888401. While I wait for you guys to call, let's continue our list of controversies. This time, we're still time traveling. This time we're going to 1975. 1975. Who was alive that's listening right now in 1975? We're going to 1975, this time to Deutschland, where during a match between Werder Bremen and Hannover in 1975, a referee blew the whistle for halftime after just 32 minutes of action. So this is actually the originator, not the AFCON, the Zambian referee. Maybe he got the idea from this German brother in 1975. He blew the whistle for halftime after 32 minutes of action. The linesman intervened, which I don't know why that didn't happen in the AFCON run. But anyways, the linesman intervened, but he still And then match play went on. But then the ref did it again, blowing the final whistle. The final whistle, the halftime whistle at 43 minutes before deciding to head down the tunnel. And why did he do this, you might ask? It's not heat stroke like our brother Jenny from Zambia. This one is actually also comical. He later admitted to having too much beer and schnapps before the game. And he said, and I quote, "We are men. We don't drink Fanta." And end of quote. Now, for that one, I don't even... Again, when you talk about history sometimes, the things are just... so funny, it's hard to believe. But yes, that's sort of what's going on in Germany in 1975. Coming back to the future, or back to present times, rather, is in 2014... Chelsea fans might fondly remember this one. In 2014, it was Chelsea against Arsenal in the English Premier League. It was Arsene Wenger's 1,000th. I can never say that word, but he managed 1,000 fixtures, right? This was number 1,000 against Chelsea, London rival. So in this match, like I said, monumental match in the history of the game, really. I mean, how many coaches reach 1,000 games, right? But at this time, when this incident that I'm about to explain happened, Chelsea were leading 2-0. And things just got worse for the Gunners. They weren't able to celebrate their coach, Mr. Arsene Wenger, appropriately by giving him a victory. But the Gunners were leading 2-0. And things just got worse for Arsenal when the Ox, Oxlade-Chamberlain, He pulled a Luis Suarez by saving a shot with his hand to instead concede a penalty, right? So the referee pulled out his red card, rightfully so, pulled out his red card. This was Andre Mariner. And he gave the red card not to Oxlade-Chamberlain. He showed it to Kieran Gibbs instead. Despite Oxlade trying to tell the ref that it was him and not Kieran Gibbs. And if you're unfamiliar with these two players, they don't look the same, but they are of the same complexion. That's the only similarity between the two, is that they're both light-skinned players. And so Kieran Gibbs was sent off. He had to go off despite being told it wasn't him. And Mariner later apologized for the mistake. And Chelsea ended up winning the match 6-0. I mean, VAR wasn't around then, so... But still, even when it happened, I didn't understand why... Because I remember watching that match. I didn't understand why... Why couldn't anyone just tell the referee, even though there was a player, but couldn't the linesman tell him in his ear that you're giving a red card to the wrong player? Like, I don't understand. Or the what's his name? The fourth official, couldn't he intervene there? Doesn't really make sense. But we're going, our next incident, we're going back to Deutschland. This time we're going back to 2005, we're in Deutschland, Zweite Bundesliga. A man by the name of Robert Heuser. He was involved in a match-fixing scandal. Robert Heuser, obviously a referee. He admitted to manipulating matches in one of Europe's biggest football scandals. This is also one I remember hearing about, obviously only years later. But he admitted to manipulating football matches, and obviously motivated by financial gain. And how he was manipulating and why he was manipulating matches was, you might have guessed it, because of an illegal betting syndicate. So he was on his turkey flow. Because of an illegal betting syndicate. And so what he used to do, he used to intentionally make decisions that would alter match outcomes. This goes from calling unfair penalties, issuing unjust full red cards. But he did his work in the shadows. He only did it in the, like I said, it was Zweite Bundesliga, second Bundesliga. So he focused on the lower divisions, second Bundesliga and below. That's how he didn't get caught, because not that many eyes were on it. But eventually he did get caught. And one of the resolutions from his the outcomes of his, of the investigation was that HSV, which is Hamburg, the team that Colin Benjamin used to play for in Germany, FYI, Hamburg received a compensation of up to €2 million, because one of Heuser's actions led to Hamburg being knocked out of the DFB Pokal, and other teams were financially compensated for Heuser's actions as well. I should have actually asked Colin Benjamin if I would have to look it up. I don't know if he was at HSV in 2005. Maybe he was a bit after that. But if he remembers any of this at all. But Heuser, the referee, was banned for life from any role in football and received a 2-year, 5-month prison sentence. And Heuser was sentenced along with 5 other individuals in December 2006, after they had lost their appeals in the courtroom. So crazy things happening in Deutschland. Update on the Manchester United, Brighton and Hove. Brighton and Hove Albion fixture, FA Cup, third round. Things get worse for Manchester. Okay, they get worse because they conceded a second goal. It's now 2-0 in the 66th minute. But it adds salt to the injury because it's Danny Welbeck who scored the second goal. Former Man United boy, Danny Welbeck. So United seem to be continuing their form under Amorim. Looks like they'll be knocked out of the FA Cup. They have around 30 minutes to save themselves. We'll see if they can pull anything off in the last 5 minutes that I'll be here with you this evening. Now there's one more. There's actually a few more that I'd like to read. So this is a collection of incidents I found online with some dubious refereeing incidents. So we'll start with Mr. Mark Halsley, a former Premier League referee. He claimed that in 2016, he was put under pressure by professional game match officials, that's PGMOL, to lie about whether he had seen an incident. Stephen Zonzi, playing for Blackburn at Stoke in 2011, elbowed Ryan Shawcross, but the referee in question, Halsey, was happy it was not a red card offense, right? So he claimed that PGMOL bosses wanted him to say that he hadn't seen the incident so they could apply retrospective punishment, right? Because the PGMOL, which is it's self-explanatory what they are. The game match officials. Like the association of referees, basically. My bosses weren't happy, Halsey told the Sun. I was under pressure to say that I hadn't seen it. I was furious, but no matter what industry you're in, you do what your bosses say. So Nzonzi was charged and got a 3-match ban. I know it goes on because other referees have told me. Nothing can happen because nobody can say anything publicly as a referee. But I suspect it does go on. There are outside influences on different situations. The PGMOL issued a denial, obviously, because what else are they supposed to say? The PGMOL issued a denial stating match officials submit their reports, including critical incidents, directly to the FA. There is no pressure from the PGMOL to include or omit anything. Now, depends who you believe in this situation. And honestly, I believe things like this do go on in certain situations. I honestly believe things like this do go on. Maybe not as much as anymore because it's because of all the technology we have now, you know, the VAR, the goal line technology, etc., etc. But I do believe in those years, like this was 2016, not even that long ago, that things like this definitely were happening, in my opinion now. But I wanted to go back to... Oh, when he said nothing can happen because nobody can say anything publicly as a referee. Something that they've been implementing now in the Premier League as well. They're having referees explain their decisions to the crowd. I don't think this is happening in AFCON. I haven't seen it happen yet. But in the Premier League now, you'll see when they go to VAR, when they're making certain decisions, the referee will get on the... Like his headset will connect to the stadium intercom and he will say, like, oh, okay, this is a penalty because A, B, and C. This is not a penalty because A, B, and C. I gave a red card because A, B, and C. Something that they do, they've been doing for years and years and years in the, across the pond in America, right? In American sports. And this is something football fans have been calling for because, like I said, sometimes as fans, we don't understand at all why certain decisions are being made when the correct decision at least seems so obvious. So now at least we have referees explaining a little bit what's going on, which is good to see. And I'm beginning to run out of time. So I almost forgot to give you the correct answer for the trivia question, which is how many kilometers does a referee average in 90 minutes in a football match? And the answer to that question is, it is around 10, between 10 and 11 kilometers is how much a referee runs in a football match. It's not 30, it's not 60, like some of you called in. It is 10 to 11 kilometers. While I have you, just to give some perspective, right, like I said, a marathon is 42 kilometers. And the record, this is now for players, the record for most distance covered in a single match belongs to Marcelo Brozovic, the Croatian tank, who covered 16.7. This is the most recorded. And he actually held the record prior to that. He had 16.3 against England in the 2018 World Cup semifinal. He set the 16.7 kilometer against Japan in the 2022 World Cup. In the list of the top five, okay, so you have Brozovic has the top two places. Third, you have Bastian Schweinsteiger, who was an old man in 2014. He did this in the final, 15 kilometers. I remember this, actually. I remember the analyst talking about how crazy that was. Then, in fourth place is Dejan Kulusevski from Tottenham. He covered 13.36 kilometers. And in fifth was Pascal Gross, 13.3 kilometers. Okay? So that's the highest. And referees do slightly less, 10 to 11. Nonetheless, this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Don't forget, tomorrow the Villager will be published. Make sure to get your copy for free simply by sending our WhatsApp number. That is 081-200-4144. Make sure you save that number. Send it a message on WhatsApp saying you want to become a subscriber. And you will receive the Villager every Monday, Wednesday, Friday directly to your WhatsApp bright and early in the morning. If you prefer to receive it over email, simply send us your email address as well and you will have access to the latest edition of the Villager. This has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. My name is Hende, and I will see you same time, same place next week, Sunday, on your favorite talk radio station. I will see you then.